I invite Pastor Paul now to introduce our next speaker who will be giving his testimony, Pastor Steve Light.
Well, you all thought it was going to be me today. So did I. But I just met Pastor Steve earlier. He came about a year ago into Singapore, and he was a good friend of Nellie, Sister Nellie, in the past in the Philippines. And I said to him, could you speak and share your testimony? And very kindly he agreed to do so. And Pastor Steve Ellison, I think that's how you pronounce your name.
Eliason.
He's from Minnesota in the United States. He is a pastor and teaches at a university there, Christian University there. He has five children, imagine, father of five. He says that's why his hair is so white, he told me. But he's over 60 years of age, that's correct, isn't he? I saw on your Facebook he had his 60th birthday. He was celebrating with his children. So he's looking quite good for over 60. He has served in Philippines for 11 years. He planted a church in the Philippines, the church planting there. So he can speak a little bit of the Tagalog, I believe. He's much more adventurous than I am. And he's Norwegian on both sides of his family. Now, I mention that because I had my DNA tested recently, and I am 11% Scandinavian, which shocked me. I didn't even think I was 1% Scandinavian. So Steve and I could actually be related, okay? There's not that many people in Norway. But his grandfather on both sides, great-grandparents, are all Norwegian. So he is pure Norwegian, even though he's born and brought up in the United States. He looks a bit more Norwegian than I do. But without further ado, we're going to invite Pastor Steve to come forward, and he's going to share how God saved him. And then, no doubt he'll tell you about how he met his wife, his children, and how God has used him in the Philippines as well. Pastor Steve. Awesome. Just got another one.
Magandang araw tayo sa lahat. Pero hindi mag-Tagalog story tapos na. Ilocano, mabalin. Ay, mano kayo nga Ilocano? We have a lot of Ilocanos here. Uray ang Ilocano, klatagarul. No, I don't want to break trust with Pastor. He might not know what I'm saying. My testimony. This is not supposed to be a sermonizing, so I will start with and focus on my testimony. I was raised in a wonderful family. Both of my parents were followers of Jesus. But you know, that didn't make me any better. I still had my sin problems. And when I was 11 years old, a very significant event happened in my life. Because my cousin Paul, who was a few years older than me, I was very close to him. He lived in the same town as I did, and he lived actually on the campus of Bethany. And he was the first person to ever personally talk to me about Jesus, even as a young boy. We would be watching a sporting event on TV, for example, and a beer commercial would come on TV. And I was just a little boy. And my cousin would tell me, Steve, don't drink beer. I'm six. I'm not going to drink beer. What, you know, he was very concerned for my soul. And so I thought this was very interesting that a little boy, just a couple years older than me, would have the courage to talk to me about these things. And so when I turned 11 years old, my cousin and his family and several others from Bethany, the school, and it was a fellowship at the time, they went up to a lake place for some vacation. And I really wanted to go on vacation. Because the year before I had gone and we caught all sorts of fish. And to this day, fishing is my favorite thing to do. But for whatever reason, I wasn't allowed to go. The Lord knows. And while they were there, my aunt and uncle and my two cousins, while they were there with several other families, a tornado struck the campground where they were staying. Now, a tornado is like a small but very focused bagyo, okay? And it, unlike a bagyo, you don't know it's coming. That's what makes it so very dangerous. And so, this was a very strong tornado, and what happened was, it actually picked up the cabins where they were in, lifted it up, and threw it like 200 meters out into the lake. And so 7 people were killed as a result of that. And one of the ones that were killed was my 13-year-old cousin, Paul. And I remember exactly where I was when my mom got the call from someone from Bethany that this had happened. I remember the clock on the wall. My mom still has this clock. And so when I see that clock, I remember that event. And when my mom told me that there was this tragedy, they didn't know right then who had died, I was very, upset. And then the next day we found out that they couldn't find my cousin. My aunt had severe trauma to her head and had major cuts and lacerations. And fortunately, my other cousin and his dad were okay, but they couldn't find their youngest son, my cousin Paul. And of course, as an 11-year-old, I'm coming up with all sorts of ideas about where he is. I'm thinking, well, he probably is in the woods. Or he probably ran off and is hiding somewhere. Well, my grandfather had to come to me that day and say, Steve, Paul is dead. And for an 11-year-old, it was very difficult for me to grasp what that meant. Because he was only 13 years old. And my parents had to go up to help. And so they sent me and my two brothers to another place. I stayed with my best friend. And I'm not a particularly emotional guy, but I remember as an 11-year-old basically crying all night long. All I could do was cry. I couldn't sleep. And so I basically just cried because I was so upset about my cousin being missing and probably dead. And so in the morning, as the sun was coming up, I remember looking out the window of my friend's house, just not knowing what to say or not knowing what to do. And God spoke to me. He didn't quote me a verse. He said something that made me know it was truly God that was speaking to me. He said, Steve, there's more to life than playing baseball. Baseball is like a sport in the States. It's like saying there's more to life than playing basketball. That's all he said. There's more to life than playing baseball. And it took me aback. I knew it wasn't a thought from my own mind. And I wasn't praying. I was perhaps praying in my soul because of the burden that I had. And the Lord could see that I was hurting. But that's what he chose to say to me. He didn't explain to me why anything happened. He just said a very simple statement, but it was something that I could understand as an 11-year-old boy. And the interesting thing was, even though I didn't really know what it meant, there was such a peace that came into my heart that I couldn't explain it. And so really, that event then, over the next 3 years, I began to see the truth of what he had told me. Because as you know, you become 12, 13, 14, you know, you can start to get into more and more trouble. You get better at getting in trouble. Lumain ka na talaga, makabasol ya. And so, because God had spoken to me, I was makonsensya. Because I remembered what he told me. There's more to life than playing baseball. And so, when I was 14 then, I had begun attending a youth group at Bethany Church. My parents didn't go to Bethany Church, but we attended once in a while, and so I went to the youth group. And there was a summer camp where we went up north, and I got to go fishing. So I was very excited about, you know, they had a man who was the special speaker. And he did just an amazingly clear job of explaining the gospel. And so he asked if anyone wanted to repent of their sins and become a follower of Jesus. And I really did. I really did. Because I recognized that I was falling short. I wasn't going where I should go. And this was a great offer. And so, you know, I became a Christian at age 14. But as I began to walk in faith, something bothered me. Something bothered me about church. Okay? I don't know if this, probably not in your church. Your church is probably a perfect church. Okay? Look at all these perfect people in this perfect church. Amen. I noticed that there were some people who went to church that when they were outside of church, they were no different than anybody else who didn't go to church. But it's like there was no difference. There were some people that went to church that you could tell they were different. They were definitely more like Jesus, but there were many that went to church that it's like, I'm confused. And so this got me, it confused me and it made me wonder, how can this possibly be? I didn't understand how that could be. And I said to myself, I said, you know, I have seen people, my cousin who died was one. I have seen people who I know are like Jesus and must walk with Jesus. But then there's these others that don't. And yet they call themselves Christians and they go to church. And this also confused me. And then ultimately when I came near to the end of my high school years, I wasn't sure what God wanted me to do after I was finished with my high school. But again, without really asking, the Lord used one of my older friends to confirm that he wanted me to go to Bible school. Now, he told me this when I was in 10th grade, and I was going to be done in 12th grade. When I was in 10th grade, 12th grade seemed so far away. It seemed like a long way away. So I said, okay, I'm going to Bible school when I graduate. Good. But then when I became a 12th grader and everyone was asking, well, what are you going to do after high school? I said, I'm going to Bethany. Oh, did you get a scholarship? Are you going to play sports? You know, the sports were a big thing for me. No, I'm not doing sports. I'm not. Oh. Well, where are you going? I'm going to Bethany. And back then, Bethany was called Bethany Fellowship Missionary Training Center. So you knew exactly what it was you were doing. Okay? And my friends were going, oh, okay. Some of my friends said, oh, well, good luck being a monk. I don't want to be a monk. I don't want to be a monk. But I knew that the Lord had given me peace about going to Bible school. Because I remembered once again what it was he told me as an 11-year-old boy. There's more to life than playing baseball. There's more to life than simply pleasing yourself, really. That's isu kaya nga so in the jag. Dagi sarili mo, dagi bukod mo nga pagayatan. At adak mo, iti panagbiag mo. Ayan. Yeah. Trust me, it was good. It was nice. No hairs. So little by little, you know, the Lord led me to understand what it meant to truly be a follower of Jesus. And all of us are on that journey of becoming a follower of Jesus. You know, we are all disciples who are being discipled and becoming disciples. There is no end to becoming like Jesus. There is no end to it. We have eternity to perfect that. So the thing that the Lord gave me in terms of trying to understand why some people say they're Christians or they go to church, but what's going on? There is a verse in 2 Corinthians, I think it's on the screen. The word used here, oh, now nigaminti Ilocano na daytoy. I will read the English and then stop when we get to the special word. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one, we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other, the savor of life unto life. Who is sufficient for these things? Only one. Only God can do that for us. And so, what my cousin Paul was to me was the ayamu of Jesus. Naunig ngelo ka na lang yan. Ayamu. Yeah. Huh? Ayamu. Naunig ngelo ka na data. Namoyo, mamindwalaing iti baro tulad dahi jeng asaw nga na isura. Mamindwalaing. Being, my cousin Paul was the fragrance of Jesus to me. When I was with Paul, it's like I was with Jesus. Yeah. That's what it was like. When I was with some of those other people, not so much. There was nothing of Jesus about them. And so I said to myself, I want to be in the group that smells like Jesus. Okay? Because that's the thing that attracted me most of all to Jesus. Was the fact that he, Jesus, was seen and actually smelled. Angot mo. Karigijeng at tao. Masumuro king kwa. Okay. Now, so I wanted to be someone that smelled like Jesus. Okay. When they were with me, I wanted them to believe that they were in the presence of Jesus. You know, it's important, like, I appreciate you guys go out and you share the word on Sundays, you pass out tracts and things. It's important to do that, because as Peter said, I think I got it here somewhere. No, I don't. It's important to be able to give an answer to why you believe. But friends, it's far more important for you to smell like Jesus, because you will take him everywhere you go. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sabado. Okay? Every day. And you just do not know when the Lord will use you. It would be great if it was Sunday, but what if it's Wednesday? So the lesson and the testimony I have, those were the people that had the fragrance of Jesus, the savor of Jesus about them, that attracted me to Him. And friends, in today's world, it is so important that each and every day we are that person who is the savor of Jesus to everyone that we were with. Your employers, your friends, the children you might take care of, or whatever other jobs you have. You are a living testimony. Okay? I'm giving you my testimony because my testimony is basically the fact that I met people that were like Jesus, and that's what changed me. The power of the truth of the gospel working through ordinary people. My cousin was 13 years old. He was 13 years old and he influenced me. And so as I think about, you know, what it is that God has called me to do, and again, I'm thankful for the chance to have lived in the Philippines. 1985. The Lord taught me a lot about what it meant to be a follower of Jesus by being in the Philippines. Because I saw that there were other ways of looking at things. There are other ways of living life. I don't have time to tell all of my stories, but there are many lessons that I learned. Most of them, the ones that meant the most to me, involved pain and suffering, like a lot of you have had to endure. Those, like the song that we sang earlier, those things that we suffer are often the things that God uses to move us in the right direction. And so I'm very thankful for my friends like Nelly and others that I got a chance to meet. And they have also been a savor of Christ to me. Any questions about my time in the Philippines before I step down and give Paul a few moments?
You know? Why in the Philippines?
Nagdiyan kami, J. Isabela. Imuna, nagdiyan kami di Barrio ti Agasan, J. Ilaga, Isabela. Tapos Palatao, Nagilian. And then nadamit ko kwa tiyempo mi, J. Kawayan, J. Manantayuna. So, kablaman ba kayo aming kapsat siyo, J. May yudakar kayo. Testament ka rin. So I hope to be able to come back and visit again every year about this time. I'm here in Singapore for a week of school next week. Tomorrow I start 5 days straight of school, working on my doctorate, Bethany International University. Intercultural studies is my subject. I teach that at the University at Bethany, and I train missionaries at the mission we have. So we have students who will be going to Batam for 16 months. So you know Batam, I think. Indonesia. So. Sabagay Diyos di kumuyo karakayo di dadang lawas ket sapay kumanga bendisyon na kayo ni Apo.